You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Just download the Odyssey app. Many of you already do that. And listen to us on 1210 WPHT on the app. Right next to the Listen Live button. Little microphone. You tap it, you speak, you hit send, and boom. It miraculously and magically just appears in our hopper. And then Stocker plays them at 9:45. It's amazing what technology is capable of these days. Let's try Christian in Jenkintown. Let me get this call in here. Christian, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning, sir. And another gentleman and ma'am.
Well, that would be Nick. That would be Nick, Greg, and Dawn.
Yes. Just wanted to make sure I got the proper respect. So in terms of the debate, I think kind of the best we can hope for is a turn off of the Harris voters. You know, Americans, many excel at apathy, and it's easier to count on that apathy to basically just not show up and vote at all. That's probably the A-plus answer. People have had it so good for so long that they will say, well, I'm just going to sit this one out. You'll never convert a Harris voter into a Trump voter, not in a statistical, meaningful way. If you've got TDS, there is no reversing that. I truly believe that.
So you think best case scenario is Harris has a bad debate and a would-be Harris voter just decides to sit this one out?
I think that is the A plus possible outcome.
I'm not sure I disagree with you. That being said, if you do get a couple, you say having no statistical impact in the election, I would argue nationwide, it only has to be less than 1%, right? I mean, we look at Georgia 4 years ago, it was decided by 10,000 votes. Arizona 4 years ago, 11,000 votes. Now, maybe here in Pennsylvania, where it was, I think, 154,000, maybe that's too big. But then again, you look at the polls, and if the polls are accurate, like Stocker mentioned earlier, CNN says Pennsylvania is tied 47-47. It only takes a select few. Harry Enten has also said if the polling data is off by 1 point in either direction, it swings the election. So while I agree with the premise, if you have Trump derangement syndrome and you're a Harris supporter, you're never going to vote for Trump as the winner of the debate. Maybe best case scenario is you sit it out. But I'm also hoping Republicans on the other side of the ledger don't sit this election out. You know, for that contingent out there that's a Nikki Haley supporter, as I've said in the past, I think you're absolutely insane if you sit it out. And where I've called you a loser is if you are a Nikki Haley supporter that is now going to vote for Kamala Harris. That I just can't get on board with that whatsoever. 855-839-1210. We'll continue with your calls coming up in a little bit, but let's get to some of the news. It's time for a Dawn Stenson. Big three, right at nine.
It's the big three and nine.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
It crashed.
What happened?
The system.
Dun, dun, dun. We are sponsoring the big three here on Kale and Company, sponsored by Indeed. So this morning, the latest we have from police in South Jersey after two school districts were shut down after school threats. Three children, that's the total this morning, three children under arrest after a threat to shoot up multiple schools across South Jersey, two different counties. And so originally this threat posted on TikTok, that was the word. However, despite the arrests, out of an abundance of caution, that was one of the statements released by one of the districts representing multiple schools across South Jersey in the suburbs there, they decided to close school today, this Monday morning, September 9th, 2024, unfortunately, due to that shooting threat posted to social media that named multiple schools, and this came down last night on TikTok. I'm not even going to name the schools, but at the end of the day, I will say some were private, among them Catholic schools were named. And so this impacts high schools and junior, senior high school as well, and at least one middle school. So they made the decision in two different districts. They said, you know what? We're just going to close school out of an abundance of caution. This was before the third arrest was made.
Good.
And so unfortunately they felt like they had to do this because they knew there was an active search. So the good news, according to police and a collaborative effort, kudos to law enforcement across the region at the state level, at the local level, they say they feel they have all three children behind this,
well,
facing serious charges.
Better this than what happened in Georgia, A, with the shooting, and B, with the, well, he was on our radar in 2023. I'm so sick of the, we knew about the guy or the girl a year ago and slipped through the cracks. I'm done hearing that excuse.
Yes, so the threatening social media post involving various schools, we're talking about Gloucester as well as Camden counties. And so we had the local districts that were shut down. Woodbury City Public Schools, Deptford Township School District, Haddon Heights School District, and Glassboro Public Schools. Those were the ones impacted, the ones shut down as of last night and this morning. So that was Woodbury and Deptford School Districts shut down. No transportation services offered, and that unfortunately includes transportation denied to Rowan College of South Jersey and Gloucester County Institute of Technology students as the investigation continues.
Okay.
So we have that one going on. We also have another story, and Nick, you had actually requested this for the big three in our group chat last night. And so this is a Nick Cale request.
That was a good news Friday.
Yes, sir. But in this one, Judge Juan Merchan in the so-called Manhattan hush money criminal trial, the judge in this one delaying the sentencing to after the November election.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lawyers for Trump, the Republican presidential candidate on the GOP side, obviously using several legal maneuvers to try to delay the sentencing until afterwards. And so Judge Juan Merchan, he wrote that the case demands a sentencing hearing that is entirely focused on the verdict of the jury. And that was his impetus for saying, let's put this after the November 5th election. So.
Right.
It'll be well after it, November 12th.
Yeah, supposed to be September 18th, which is 9 days from now. And, yeah, I think it's either the 12th or the 26th. It's somewhere post-election, pre-Thanksgiving, or right around Thanksgiving. But this, and the reason why I wanted to pass that along was, I think it just confirms what my opinion has been for a while, is that this was never really about imprisoning Donald Trump for whatever they concocted with these 34 copy and paste elevated felonies. This was always about, in my opinion, election interference, with labeling him two words, convicted felon.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but I don't care. In my opinion, this shows me that Juan Merchan is looking at jail time for Trump.
So you're making a change now in your stance.
Yes, I believe that. Yes, I didn't think it was possible, but I think that he is looking at jail time for Trump, and he doesn't want to do that before the election.
Well, I don't disagree with that train of thought. If you're trying to think of inside of Merchan's head, of hey, I don't want to be the guy that puts him in jail pre-election. I'll wait until after. So it's, and maybe I'm going way deep in the weeds here, but maybe Merchan is like, you know what? I'm going to put him in jail after he loses, and that'll really stick it to him. Because that vendetta probably exists with that guy. I mean, it's pretty obvious that most of these the only judge, and people, well, you're being a partisan hack, Kale. I mean, Tanya Chutkan has been basically, to me, the only judge that has looked at precedent, the rule of law, and the facts. The rest have really, and I hate to be like the totally Trump honk hack on the radio, but like so many of these cases are so obvious. I mean, what did we play last week? It was Steven Crowder doing like that little undercover wannabe Project Veritas stuff, where you have basically the, is it the chief of communication for Alvin Bragg's office saying this is a political travesty and a persecution? I mean, it's so obvious what's at play here. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if I think it would be shocking if he sentenced him to any jail time.
I did too, until I heard this, and I was like, well, he clearly tipped his hand as to what he's going
to
do.
To your point,
because if it was just probation or slap on the wrist or something, he would probably do it before the election.
I don't know about that, but to your point about him actually serving jail time and reversing your thought now, I mean, Andy McCarthy did write this about 4 weeks ago on FoxNews.com. Andy McCarthy is the other legal analyst next to Jonathan Turley, and McCarthy, unlike Turley, is not just a scholar. He's a former practicing attorney. I believe Andy McCarthy is a federal prosecutor, and he wrote a long thing. You can find it. It's probably still out there. Prepare yourself for Trump getting some prison time,
yeah.
Which is it's so absurd over a bookkeeping thing.
Now, if he loses, now if he wins the election, this all goes away.
Oh, so of course,
it's a moot point. But if he loses the election, yes, I see jail time.
But I think you could argue the other side of it either way you look at. First, you have all of these appeals in the works. You have the Supreme Court's ruling in July. How does that factor in? But Trump's lawyers have continually claimed that this was election interference. And so by just putting it after the election, you say, hey, I pushed it off until after the election. And so no matter what he decides, he can say, well, you cannot any longer appeal based on election interference.
I just think the motivation all along was they know there are people out there that will simply not vote for Trump because he's now technically labeled. And he's not even technically yet because there's still other proceedings that have to go forward with the sentencing. But there's people of saying, like, I can't vote for a convicted felon, to which I'm like, okay. Knock yourself out. I'd rather have cheap gas and have a convicted felon in office, but that's just me.
Number three in our big three, this syphilis is at its highest level since the 1950s.
Oh, time for a lockdown.
Syphilis.
This morning, this is the update. So these are researchers releasing this, saying syphilis, which is an STD, sexually transmitted infection, it was nearly eliminated in the United States of America back in the day, has made a dramatic comeback. And so the CDC has reported now hundreds of thousands of these cases, more than 200,000 syphilis cases, the highest counts since 1950.
Uh-oh. Do we have an updated booster?
Giving out a warning.
We got to get an updated vaccine, Dawn.
I don't know. There's no vaccine for syphilis. You have to have safe hoo-ha.
Yeah, so we got this and monkeypox, huh? For all you perverts out there, stop what you're doing.
So they say that, and the CDC and many government officials, you know what they blame on this? Mm. Poorly funded prevention programs. That's what's to blame here.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got mpox, I've got syphilis. What else is going around? We've got COVID, we've got the flu. What was the other one that we were talking about a few weeks ago? I don't know. It's what's the other one over in another rinky-dink nation that we should never even allow to come into this country? What's the other one floating around? There's another one.
Well, there are all those mosquito-borne and all that stuff, the scary mosquito-borne stuff.
Somebody was paralyzed from a mosquito illness.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Yeah. Stalker's got it figured out. Just don't leave your house.
Mosquito and tick bites. I mean, that's the worst. You got to use the spray.
Just get a man cave, get a pool table, a bar, and a big screen TV in your basement and never leave home again.
Thank you.
But seriously, they say that syphilis is the great imitator because it can start with a small rash and it can look like a lot of other things, but they're just putting the word out here that they really feel that they're blaming during the pandemic, public health departments redirected all of the STD or STI, whatever you want to call it, resources toward fighting coronavirus.
Oh.
And so blame COVID, blame the pandemic.
All right. When in
doubt,
you're
blaming everything other than personal responsibility,
yes,
by the way.
That's the new mantra in life. When in doubt, either blame Trump or blame COVID. That's what you have to do.
So we are sponsored in our big three by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round, schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. Thank you, Indeed, for sponsoring our big three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Ann is in Springfield. She's up next. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to present something, kind of had a brain fart here. I wonder if anybody's taking odds on whether this debate actually comes off, because I kind of visualize them scrounging around in the hazardous waste bin in the White House looking for the positive COVID test they used for Joe so that they can use it for Kamala to get her out of the debate.
And I know you said you're always looking for somebody that's taking odds. As a gambler myself, I can give you odds on that. I'll give you 250-1. How's that sound?
Which way?
That she will test positive, meaning it's a complete long shot. And look, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, Ann. Thank you for the call. Democrats, they love themselves some COVID and some testing and some lockdowns and restrictions. But no, Kamala has to come out of the basement for one day and one day only. And I honestly think this is what's going to happen tomorrow. I think for Kamala Harris to get praise from the mainstream media and all of the talking heads on television, all she has to do is be coherent and have one moment of being feisty, or the I'm speaking, or that little soundbite snippet that CNN and MSNBC can run with, and they will give her a passing grade because the bar is so low.
There was a report earlier this morning, I don't know, it was Politico or something like that, that the Harris campaign is scrambling because of the last minute rule changes, you know, with the muted mics and all that stuff.
God. Could you imagine that altering your prep for days over one rule thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, the debate's going to happen.
Of course.
We all know it's going to happen. Will there be any after? I doubt it.
I would bet no. Easily. I'd bet a lot of money on no.
And then what if it goes horribly for her, or will Kamala for any reason want a second debate?
If she knocks it out of the park,
then she wants to just another one.
No.
If she knocks it out of the park, then I think that yes, her team pushes for another one.
Knowing her and her team, I think they do the debate. They wait to see what the New York Times, The Washington Post, all of the typical, you know, water boy and water girl carriers for her do, and what the narrative is on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if it's a negative narrative, maybe they consider it. But if it's remotely positive, they're like, nope, we fulfilled our obligations. We're good. We'll see you November 5th.
I'm telling you right now that the media will declare her the winner the next day.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
It's funny you say that, because Polymarket, the betting odds market for the election, has her as a 63% favorite to win the debate. Yet they say with 87% certainty, it doesn't change the fact that they have Trump as the favorite to win the election.
Oh, interesting.
63% that Kamala wins the debate.
But it doesn't matter.
But 87% post-debate, in their opinion, Trump's still the favorite to win.
Interesting.
Yep.
And neither candidate can do anything that's over the top. So that's what I think. If there's some huge moment where Trump has a horrible moment that's going to go viral, or on the other hand, if Harris has a moment where she, you know, where she flubs, or she has a misstep, or she hesitates.
I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm saying that she will have a good night.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, because I think the bar is incredibly low. I mean, you can't be worse than Joe was on June 27th, right? That's almost a physical and mental impossibility. So anything above Joe is considered an improvement. But yeah. Dawn, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, I think to Greg's point, she just has to look solid. I'm sure that's what they're telling her. Don't try to be funny. Don't try, you know, just... Mm-hmm. As long as you just hold it, and nothing has to be spectacular, yeah. Nothing like that.
Well, she has to reveal a policy. I mean, there's going to be questions from the moderators about her position on energy, the economy.
They're gonna prep her for that.
Yeah, so that's the deal. We know that she can memorize things, so she's going to memorize everything.
Yeah.
But will she in any way be knocked off
right.
by her game? And so remember in the Hillary debate, for example, they had a live audience, which remember, you know, as everybody knows, they won't have a live audience here. So they can't use, let's say, Gold Star families in the audience or a crowd or anybody in the crowd that she sees that will knock her off. That's what they did with Hillary when they had somebody, right, who could, you know, was a Bill Clinton accuser
yep.
or what have you. So they can't use the crowd in any way, shape, or form. That's something the Trump campaign has done in the past. So that's, you know, and for Trump, he is fueled by a live audience.
Oh, sure.
He does better when he's in front of a live audience.
Totally agree.
You know, with fall upon us, back to school, I went in the garage and I have my fall, beautiful fall wreath, put it on the front door. And I thought, oh, you know, what about a front door makeover? I think that your front door, let's say it's, since we talked about lipstick, it's like, you know, the first thing that people notice. And something that's so easy to give your home a whole new makeover with a front door. And that's really where my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, where they come in. I love the work the Chapman family team has done in my home, whether it was the patio doors, replacing a wall of windows there. But you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, I would only trust the Chapman family team. So if you're thinking of updating your front entry door right now, fall, the perfect time before the holidays set in. So for the entire month of September, Chapman is offering free hardware on a new front entry door up to the value of $500. So this update, what does it mean? It's going to change the curb appeal and just the beauty of your home, really give it that easy fall makeover. So whether you're looking for a single door, a double door, or what about a door with side lights? That's what I have. The Chapman family team's experienced project consultant is going to help you choose the perfect new door for your home. If you or somebody you know is looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, the hardware choices, give them a call, text. They're local. They're listening right now, 610-431-8898. So you can always text. And you can take that virtual tour online, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
I am all for this story from the Wall Street Journal. Headline being, are you ready to bet on U.S. elections? A judge's ruling has opened up the door. So get ready for legalized betting as soon as next week on whether or not Democrats can take back control of the House. A federal judge on Friday cleared the way for Americans to place bets on the outcome of congressional elections via a prediction market startup, a victory that could potentially open the door to legalized wagers on U.S. elections, which would include the President of the United States of America. They say still it remains uncertain over the weekend whether the political betting markets would go live after regulators filed an emergency motion seeking a two-week delay while they considered an appeal. In a one-page order, U.S. District Judge Jaya Cobb of the District of Columbia sided with the startup and threw out a 2023 decision that would have blocked said startup. Here's a quote for you. Election markets are now legal in the United States for the first time in 100 years. Americans will be finally able to trade the election on a U.S. regulated market. So you say, well, okay, that's cool if you're a gambler. That's cool if you like politics. But to me, the big takeaway is tax the hell out of it. Just like you do casinos, just like you do sports books.
Yeah.
It's a great revenue producer for the economy. And that's ultimately what I care about.
Are we all in favor of this on this program?
Yeah, I am.
Dawn?
Sign me up.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I guess.
You know, well, Dawn's probably not going to wager on things one way or the other.
I know.
But for me as a, you know, 1-800-GAMBLER, gambling addictions, you know, I got to be careful. But yeah, would I wager? Now, am I going to wager, like, you know, on House and Senate races? Probably not. Maybe one or two locally that I have more information on, like, you know, maybe Dave McCormick against Casey, I would. Or if I have a, like if you would have told me 2 years ago. I could have went, and look, hindsight 2020, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. I would have absolutely have bet on Raphael Warnock to beat Herschel Walker. Like, I knew Herschel Walker was dead man walking.
Does this cheapen elections in anybody's opinion?
No, I think it's just capitalism.
I mean, I guess, you know, we've often said, well, what are the voting sites? What do they say? But to make it, you know, a sport, it's not a sport. So I genuinely have mixed feelings about the whole thing.
I just like the fact that we're evolving. Like, okay, yes, legalization of marijuana, legalization of sports betting. Like, it's not 1910 anymore, right? That's the way I view it.
Well, okay, here's what I say. As far as marijuana, I believe that, you know, it's, I agree with what Trump put out on Truth Social today, that it's ridiculous that anybody should go to jail for a mandatory sentence for a small, tiny amount of marijuana. But
oh,
on
yes,
the other
agreed,
hand,
agreed.
I mean, if you're stuck in traffic, especially in these beautiful days, mm-hmm. like today is going to be, even though it's 79 degrees, low humidity.
Right.
What do you have? You have your windows down.
Yeah, I don't want to smell it.
You smell it, though.
I know. I'm sitting on the scooper every day and I smell it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I hate the smell of it. I even, like, at my fantasy football draft, two of my buddies were smoking weed. And I'm like, dude, can you just go, like... Yeah. Go to, there's, you know, can we find a smoker's table? Like, go over there.
Old man Kale.
Yeah, I just hate the smell of it. But I hate the smell of cigarette. I hate the smell. I don't even like the smell of a good fireplace. I'm anti-burning things. Yeah. I just, yeah, I hate the smell. I hated the bonfire when I was in high school before my Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Oh, it was atrocious.
No, what's wrong with you?
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. So I've been teasing this for the last, I don't know, 2 hours. I have a clip of Bill Clinton from 1995, the 1995 State of the Union. And if you listen to this, he's talking about immigration, illegal immigrants. It sounds like a Trump speech from 2024.
Yep.
It's really kind of, you know, everybody always talks about how the Republicans went MAGA, they went, you know, even Dick Cheney now is endorsing. They've gone so far to the right that even Dick Cheney's endorsing Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to Bill Clinton from the State of the Union, 1995, and close your eyes and tell me that this does not sound like a Trump speech.
Okay.
This is Cut 23, Phil, go.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might other...
I mean, just the fact that he calls them illegal aliens.
I thought that was racist. No human is illegal, I was told. By the way, look how young Newt looks in the background.
Yeah, look how young they all look.
Yeah.
All right, we continue.
...otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens.
Wow.
In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws.
Wow.
It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Man. I'll be damned.
So Trump is a combination of Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, folks.
Oh, geez.
I'll be damned. You know, as I said earlier this morning, I quoted the New York Times with their Siena College poll that found Trump to be, quote, less radical than Kamala, the more centrist candidate, and a decade ago would identify as more Democrat than Republican.
Yep.
Yet the mainstream media leads you to believe he's Hitler. Okay.
All right, should we get to some voicemails?
Yeah, why not?
What's up, pretend Aussie? You know, you ever watch Step Brothers? That interview Harris did with Walls was like when they went to that job interview with two people wearing tuxedos. And the one guy busted one. It was horrible. And then Walls is like Matt Foley?
Matt Foley.
Eating government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
Yeah.
But, geez. Make America great again. Take care, folks.
Great pull on the Matt Foley skit. Legendary episode of SNL with David Spade and Kelly Bundy from Married with Children. Good pull by him. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
Matt Foley's been down in the basement drinking coffee for the last 12 hours.
Very good pull by you, actually.
Farley comes up and just falls through the dining room table.
Yeah.
Jim here from Washington Township in New Jersey. I'm calling to ask a question. Hopefully it's not too stupid. With this Chevron decision by the Supreme Court, doesn't that kind of exclude all these little knuckleheads running around trying to make laws when they have no authority to do so? And if not, can you maybe explain the Chevron decision to us? Because I thought it practically eliminated all these little dudes who think they're more important than they actually are.
Well, kudos to him for the call and joining us via a payphone. Secondly, I'm not sure if it's apples to apples with the Chevron case specifically, but if you're referring to about making these rules and these laws and going around, whether it's the Supreme Court of the United States or Congress, for example, I gave you in the Big Take this morning, part two of the Big Take was on the Second Amendment and guns. And with the whole confiscation of firearms, Kamala Harris just can't do that. She can't just supersede Congress. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, she does not have the power to do that. Whether or not that's applicable, and you can bring up the Chevron case and that SCOTUS ruling, which was about 8 weeks ago. I'm not sure that that's...
June 28th.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that's apples to apples.
Chevron also, I mean, I think it just pulled back the power of these federal agencies to basically make up their own rules and interpret the laws.
Right.
You know, some people say that it's actually a bigger deal than the Roe decision, and the Dobbs decision, but everybody's focusing on abortion
right,
and not really talking about this one as much.
Good point.
All right, one more. Oh, wait, hang on.
Uh-oh. He teased us with one more, Nick.
I teased you. I don't like to be teased.
Real talk show heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. AM radio listener.
Uh-oh.
Although you have many listening options, you tune that dial to 1210 AM. Mm-hmm. Bright and early, you start listening to Kale and Company with Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Mm-hmm. He screams out 6 a.m. You listen to the Big Take, the Cut Sheet, Dawn's News, Cut Sheet Part 2, and Moments in Music History. Yeah. Can't forget Phil Almquist. Oh! So no matter what your day has in store, you know your favorite show will be there for you Monday through Friday on 1210. Mr. and Mrs. AM radio talk show listener.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was Woo. A+.
That was awesome.
Right. Nice job. Combination of Greg and Phil, and since we do start at 6 a.m., I'll play this one for you.
We start at 6 a.m.
Thank you very much, Philip.
All right, this day in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale & Company.
Today, September 9th, we celebrate the birthday of Freddie Weller from Paul Revere and the Raiders, who's now 81. And a heavenly birthday shout-out to Doug Engel from Iron Butterfly, Bruce Palmer from Buffalo Springfield, and Otis Redding. Single the Coon, Imagine by John Lennon here in the U.S. in 71. Soul Man by Sam and Dave in 67. Talking in Your Sleep by the Romantics in 83. And Beast of Burden by the Rolling Stones in 1978. Albums include Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd in the U.K. in 75. Signals by Rush in 82. And Patient Number 9 by Ozzy released last year. Also in 95, Coolio was atop the singles chart with Gangsta's Paradise. In 65, the Stones were atop the singles chart with I Can't Get No Satisfaction. In 56, Elvis made his very first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And in 2003, Simon and Garfunkel announced they're reuniting and touring for the first time in 20 years. By the way, yes, I did see that tour in New York.
Oh, here we go.
But lastly, on this day in 65, the Hollywood Reporter ran the following ad. Madness folk rock and roll musicians, singers wanted for acting roles in new TV show. parts for four insane boys. 437 people applied. The four that were selected became the monkeys. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Opquist.
Wow, nice work, Philip, yeah. With Today in Music History, Out by the Bay.
Yeah,
how about him slipping a little Coolio?
Nice.
I love that.
There you go.
Who won Twitter?
Chris Appolito wins Twitter. He says, the debate strategy for President Trump, he should begin many of his responses with, yes, JD and I have addressed this with this question with the press several times. At some point, he could even add, besides Dana Bash and Kamala, or has Kamala or Tim spoken with anyone from the press?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, Chris Appolito wins Twitter.
Nice job. All right, we got about 9 minutes until the Dawn Show kicks off, and we find out what she has lined up for the top of the hour.
Yeah, well, talk Trump. What is he outlining as far as his policy? We have new details on the Biggity Big debate tomorrow. We'll talk all things as far as why there might be regret from the Kamala Harris camp about the Veep choice. And a lot of news swirling around our governor, Josh Shapiro, who made his big ABC appearance on The View. So we've got great interviews. You'll hear from the Trump campaign. We'll talk messaging and insider stuff about what's important to the Trump people tomorrow at the debate. So much happening locally, nationally. We'll have some fun, too.
And in the name of fairness, I'm assuming The View will have Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis on later this week.
Oh, of course.
Since it's Governor Week, apparently.
Oh, yeah. There you Governor go. Week.
All right. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. Get ready. It's debate night in Philly tomorrow. We'll preview that at 6 a.m. The Dawn Show is next.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.